Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awaking, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact this show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact this show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic warships. Rehearsal for World War III. In the news recently, the U.S. shot down a couple of China spy balloons too close to U.S. territory. If a spy balloon poses a threat, what does a host of Russian and Chinese warships just off or in U.S. waters pose? Why aren't mainstream news providers covering this deadly chess game? And I'm not saying that they haven't covered it, but why isn't that being seen as much as, you know, these balloons? Why this deadly chess game in the first place? It's funny how, as many laying in beds dreaming about the happy holiday, some very unhappy nuclear power giants show their military might at sea. Many wars have been fought for shared survival, a nation under military attack for whatever reason, to unite the nations. I don't know if you know about Shaka Zulu and how China was created. But they used to be just separate city-states. They fought wars to join that all together. And I think they had a movie about that called Hero. Jet Li was in it. I'm not saying that's exactly how it went, but, it, you know, basically, they were trying to unite. They were warring states. So United Nations. Conquest and power, like Alexander the Great, you know, he just went around just conquering stuff, you know. And so did the newcomers to the so-called New World, right? And they came over to the North America, right? They conquered the indigenous people there, right? So, we have some people and holy men that have used scriptures to command conquering or destroying of another people. Resources that will always get you killed. Seem like whether it's a dollar or gold mines or uranium or whatever your oil, whatever your country might have, somebody wants it and you're not willing to give it up in a manner in which they want you to. It's up to some kind of conflict, right? And respect. I don't know how true the story is. I remember it was a story about Troy, the Trojan Wars. Let's say a guy from Troy took a Spartan guy's wife, and a war was waged over that disrespect. So, I just use that as a popular example because I'm just thinking a lot of people know about the Trojan War and stuff like that. And maybe that movie, Brad Pitt was the star and he played Achilles. Anyway, funny. China and Russia fought with allied forces in World War One and Two, right? China backed North Vietnam in the 12-year Vietnam War. So I heard, allegedly. Right? Take that back. I'm going to say allegedly China backed North Vietnam because I really don't know. I wasn't there. I don't have boots on the ground. That's some hearsay. Right? So anyway, I find it odd that U.S. corporations and businessmen, interest groups have relied on China for the production of goods when they can pay Americans a living wage to make their product. But greed has no loyalty or boundaries. Many U.S. products are made in China. Very few, if any, are made in Russia, who also fought on the side of the so-called allies. it seems they are but strange bedfellows, not belonging, but sometimes there and sometimes more than often. I really don't have enough information or time to really cover what's happening, but I'm going to try and just hit a, you know, hit and guess some of these things that might be going on. So things that we need to be aware of is economics, right? It's a branch of knowledge concerned with production, consumption, and transfer of wealth, right? So if you're in control of that, you are probably wealthy. If you are a consumer, which everybody is a consumer, but if all you do is consume, then you're probably on the lower, wider end of the pyramid, right? From dictionary, Cambridge Dictionary, economics is a social studies. It's a scientific study of the system by which a country's wealth is made and used. All right. From Investopedia.com. What is economics? Economics is a social science that focuses on the production, distribution, and consumption of goods and services and analyzes the choices that individuals, businesses, governments, and nations make to allocate resources. So in order for economics to thrive at a certain particular level, you have to have access to resources. Before, you know, that car becomes a car, there's metal, there's rubber, there's oil, there's, you know, just a whole lot of things involved with that. And you have to get those extract those resources from the earth, right? And take those resources and you have to get people who become resources, right, to extract that from the earth. So you're going to get the cheapest labor, cheapest resource to extract that resource from the earth as cheaply as you can, right? So I'm going to do that. So it's very important to allocate resources because it seems like they're talking about a lot of that in this whole thing here. Economics, definition and meaning on dictionary.com. Again, economics definition is the science that deals with the production, distribution, and consumption of goods and services or material welfare of humankind, the material welfare of humankind. So you have a society that's built, founded, and sustained by economics, heavily by material welfare, like this country we live in. You know, you can have an abundance of material things that generates economics, right? Because people have money and they love to spend it and they love to have these things. Well, you can go to other places where the same things that we, people will rob you of here, people don't have an interest in it, right? So the political economy of capitalism from Harvard Business School, right, says it's a government's mode of intervention in a capitalist system is primarily indirect, right? It creates, legitimizes, administers, and periodically modernizes the various market frameworks that spell out the conditions in which the economic actors may acquire and employ capital and labor to produce, distribute, and sell goods and services. So the government is like not a referee, but they do referee. It's like, okay, we're gonna, you know, they're like setting guidelines. Here's how you play the game. Here's what we're gonna allow you to do, right? So that's government's role in economics, according to Harvard Business School, right? So they basically sanction however economics is going to be practiced in the whatever sovereign nation that is practiced, and that's government here, right? So, Investopedia, right, said the U.S. national debt as of October 2002 stands at over $31.2 trillion. National debt to who? What are you talking about? National debt to who? Now, we all should be asking that question, right? Because I know there's a lot of people here saying they could use some money, right? And from Investopedia, again, we have this article called The Impact of China Buying U.S. Debt. So, right there. I mean, that's a mouthful right there. And I see we have a call already. I like to get early callers. Let's see what the caller has to say. Hope you went ready. 6469. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello. Were you ready to say anything? 6469. Okay, I'm gonna mute your mic, and when you want to, just let me know when you want to come in. Remember, everybody, press number one if you want to speak. If you don't want to speak, don't press number one because the board tells me someone wants to speak. All right, so we got this thing called the China, with China buying U.S. debt. And right when I saw that, I said, oh, this is above my pay grade. Matter of fact, I don't get paid for none of this. This is way above my pay grade. Anyway, U.S. debt offers the safest haven for Chinese impact of Chinese buying U.S. debt. U.S. debt offers the safest haven for Chinese impact of buying of China buying U.S. debt. What the hell is going on here? Because doesn't China have battleships positioned and threatening in the waters within close range of U.S. waters or within maybe U.S. Waters? I'm trying to understand it because it's very, very confusing to me. And I'm not losing any sleep over it because I have no control over it. It's bigger than me, right? U.S. debt offers the safest haven for Chinese reserves, which effectively means that China offers loans to the U.S. so that the U.S. can keep buying the goods China produces. Okay, so how do we get to, I don't know, that's as I said, that's strange bedfellows. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on? It's like a domestic violent relationship going on. What's happening here? Hence, as long as China continues to have an export-driven economy and a huge trade surplus with the U.S., it will keep piling up U.S. dollars and U.S. debt. Chinese loans to the U.S. through the purchase of U.S. debt enable the U.S. to buy Chinese products. What's going on here? It's a win-win situation for both nations, with both benefiting mutually. China gets a huge market for its product, and the U.S. benefits from the economical prices of Chinese goods. Beyond their well-known political rivalry, both nations willingly or unwillingly are locked in a state of interdependency from which both benefit and which is likely to continue. China offers loans to the U.S. so that the U.S. can keep buying the goods China produces. So is China threatening war with the United States? It's like, you owe me money, so I'm going to kill you. So and I'm benefiting from you owe me money. So how would that work? Is this just, are these guys playing with who said could they be playing with? Because this wasn't blasted over the mainstream like the balloons were. You saw the balloons, you know, balloon here, balloon there. But I didn't see the same kind of coverage with these battleships. I'm trying to understand, spy balloons all over the news, battleships toned down. How on earth does USO, a country they are about to have a nuclear war with, 31.2 trillion dollars. How is? Well, we just explain how it happens because they have this trade agreement. Like I said, a lot of people, when you're out, just look on things. See what's made of. Them says made in China. Because, you know, personally, I'm trying to separate. Is the U.S. government? Because I don't remember the government having a corporation which sells goods and services. Where's the government entity that sells oil, automobiles, and nothing like that? So it has to be U.S. interests. They must be referring to U.S. corporate interests, right? So we have it, because it's not U.S. People interest, it's U.S. corporate interest. And even though some of the corporate people are supposedly U.S. citizens, I'm going to assume, but who knows who owns these corporations? Because you never know till you know. And I'm saying that with caution from world. Russian and Chinese Navy ships spotted less than 100 miles off U.S. coast. This is written by John Fing, September 27, 2022. Russian and Chinese Navy ships spotted less than 100 miles off U.S. coast. I guess 100 miles off the U.S. coast. It's not considered as a threat. Maybe they've been there before, you know, and this is a thing that they do. Maybe not. But I'd say that was a military threat. More of a threat than a balloon in the sky. So, Russian and Chinese ships were spotted in the Barents Sea, several dozen miles off an Alaskan island, right? On September 19th, right? News.usni.org said U.S. downs two unidentified flying objects nearly a week after shooting down Chinese spy balloon. I don't know. Somebody help me out because I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen. I'm trying to see you shoot down a spy balloon, but you got battleships. Nobody engaging them. Even if you don't shoot, was there not a military response to battleships 100 miles off the coast of Alaska? One of those things that just makes you say, Report on from news.usni.org again. Report on U.S.-China's strategic competition in the South and East China Sea. Report on U.S. and China strategic competition, right? And we're just talking about economics, right? Are in the South and East China Sea. What in the world do they want in the South and East China Sea? What are they competing for? News again, usni.org. The following is the February 8th, 2023 Congressional Research Service report. U.S. China strategic competition in South and East China Seas, right? Background and issues for Congress from the report. A context of great power competition. The South Sea, SCS, has emerged as an arena of U.S. China strategic competition. China's action in the South Seas, South China Seas, including extensive island building and base construction activities at sites that it occupies in the Spratly Islands, as well as actions by its maritime forces, the Marines, right? Naval forces, right? To assert China's claims against competing claims by regional neighbors such as the Philippines and Vietnam. So here we go. As well as actions by its, right, Navy, right, forces to, armed military forces to assert China's claims against competing claims by regional neighbors such as the Philippines and Vietnam have heightened concerns amongst U.S. observers that China is gaining effective control of the South China Sea, an area of strategic, political, and economic importance to the United States and its allies. All right? So what we have here is apparently an economic war, right, which is basically leading to a military war, right? Economics lead to competition for resources, right? Actions by the Chinese maritime forces at the Japan-administered Senkaku Islands in the East China Sea, the ECS, are another concern. So we have what we call expansion, right, of economic of authority of political military authority, sovereign authority, and economic economic period, right? So these guys are juggling for the, seem like they're juggling for the same area. Who's going to control this area? Now, I don't understand why these guys can fight a war together, but they can't figure out about these areas right here. That's very simple. China should have no issue with the United States, but that somebody must be greedy or something. Something's wrong with this picture. Chinese domination of the Chinese, of China's near seas region, right? Meaning the South China Sea and the East China Sea, along with the Yellow Sea, could substantially affect U.S. strategic, political, and economic interests in the Indo-Pacific region and elsewhere. All right, so a lot of money being made down there by who? I ain't have a chance to get into who's making the money. If you follow that money trail, we can figure out what's really going on here. But I'm going to go ahead anyway with the information that I have. Right, because you don't have to be a genius to figure out that this is a war of the oligarchs. Does it take has nothing to do with the people of China and or the people of the United States. They want you to think that, but it's going to have something to do with both. Trust me. Potential border U.S. goals for the U.S.-China strategic competition. Right, and the South China Seas and the East China Seas include, are not necessarily limited to the following: fulfilling U.S. security commitments to in Western Pacific, including treaty commitments to Japan. Right, y'all know what happened to Japan after World War II. I mean, they blew it up. Well, they blew up islands, and they helped rebuild Japan. Right, so economic power. Right, what does that mean? Actually, well, it sounds like Japan is in bed with the United States, right? So they were conquered and they were became a part of the economic train, right? Power that drives the United States, right? Philippines also, right? Maintaining and enhancing the U.S.-led security architecture in the Western Pacific, including U.S. security relationships with treaty allies and partner states. That's what we call expansion, right? That's just a nice way of saying it, of U.S. expansion, right? So these guys are expanding, and they're bumping heads. And these are Asian communities that China feels hate. You know, hey, this is the, it's a reason why we call this the South China Sea and the East China Sea. You know, I can get that. I can see why the Chinese would be a little upset. I don't know how it's supposed to go, but man, South China Sea, East China Sea. That sounds like that's their turf. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what's going on here, but somebody's stepping on somebody's toes. Right? So anyway, if they're talking about maintain a regional balance of power favorable to the United States and its allies and partners. A regional, the area, right? They want to make sure that in that area, they have a certain amount of people, they don't lose anybody, and that they have a consolidation of power in a specific area that they don't lose anything that they gain there. Trade routes, trade resources, things like that, or military position and stuff like that, right? I'm just guessing that. I don't know what they have. So, United States, the principle, United States and its allies and partners defending the principle of peaceful resolution of disputes and resisting the emergence of an alternative makes right approach to international affairs. Right? And that's very important. They want to avoid the might makes right approach. But it sounds like people are trying to, at least the Chinese and the Russians, are saying, hey, might is all right. It's good. They're flexing their military muscle on the sea. Right? And yet this has not been covered the way these spy balloons have been covered. So-called spy balloons. I don't know what they are. But yet we've had these vessels, I guess, are we saying that China is our enemy? I don't know. What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive, because I am very twisted on this subject, because you got a $32 trillion debt with China, and you're competing with China for trade routes in the South China and the East China Sea, and for other countries, relationships with other allies, so-called allies, allies, right? So it sounds like people are trying to expand. You see Russia going to the Ukraine and maybe threatening to go into some other bordering states they fear. I don't, you know, but here we have this in the East. And I don't know what's going on here. This is very dangerous to me. And not that anybody should be losing any sleep, because it'll be all over before you wake up if they decide to go to war. This thing would end very quickly, because they're all nuclear powers, which is why we really shouldn't have nuclear warheads. Doesn't make sense to destroy the earth. Anybody who has that power to do that is a madman. Who wants that power is a madman. Anyway, so sound, and let's look to me that they want to prevent China from becoming a regional power, right? Hegemon, right? They say in the East Asia. Well, that's kind of like China's area. So I could see why the Chinese, I can see why they would have a problem with that. East Asia, this is not East. That's not the Atlantic or the Pacific. Y'all talking about the South China Sea, the East China Sea. So I get that the United States is deep into China, so and then deep into other nations that are have relationship or have had relationships with the Chinese and things like that, that may have been a part or China have claimed them. I understand. I can see that. Why they're bumping heads. pushing these goals as part of a larger U.S. strategy for competing strategically and managing relations with China. Don't sound like you're going to have a good relationship with China, right? So they want to stop China from carrying out additional base construction activity in the South China Seas, moving additional military personnel, equipment, and supplies to bases at sites that it occupies in the South China Sea. So you want to kind of get China to stop carrying out additional base construction activity in the South China Seas, moving military personnel and equipment and supplies to bases at sites that China occupies in the South China Seas. How does that work? Initiating island building or base construction activities at Scarborough Shoal in the South China Seas. Now, this all looks to me like a preparation for war, because we have people preparing for war, right? They're moving additional military personnel, right, and equipment and supplies. What do you do that for if you're not at war, right? You're anticipating war. So this shouldn't be scaring anybody, because I mean, I guess everybody has. I mean, we've been through a couple of wars in this country. And war is a scary thing. But nowadays, they don't really have to have the traditional war. So they're also declaring straight baselines around land features, it claims, in the South China Seas, or declaring an air defense identification zone, the ADIZ, over the South China Sea. So here we go. So we're talking about expansion, right, of one country, and if China is expanding in preparation for wars. That's what it looks like to me. In the South China Seas, and probably the East China Sea, right? Which threatens U.S. interests in those specific areas, right? So they want China to reduce or end operation by its maritime forces, right, in the islands, right? They want them to stop. It's just like telling a man what to do in his own house. Stop. Isn't that what's the guy named Putin wanted? What did he want Ukraine to do? He was afraid Ukraine was going to let U.S. or NATO put some rockets and point them at Russia or something like that. Anyway, he's trying to tell Ukrainians what to do, right? So he invaded, right? Something like that. He's supposed to invade because of some other BS reason, I think. I heard a couple of reasons why he's supposed to invade, but I don't want to get into that. But it sounds like we got a bunch of people trying to control other people, and here we have these guys who have been playing in the sandbox together for some time. Even U.S. and China, you know, went through that Vietnam thing, fighting North Vietnam, right? The U.S. supported South Vietnam, and I believe China supported North Vietnam. And that's okay, right? Because U.S. is supporting, Ukraine right now, right? Against their old ally, Russia, right? So why are people expanding? Why do they feel the need to expand? So we got economic reasons, right? And to protect your economic interests of, you know, people use violence. Once words aren't enough, they go to violence. And this is happening in the South China Sea, the East China Sea. I can see why the Chinese would feel that, hey, y'all have no right here. I could see that, you know. Anyway, it's a very scary situation. You know, China is setting up, militarizing more areas in the South China Sea, according to this article. So you only do that in preparation for war. You don't go out and get licensed to carry because you're living in such a nice place. You do that because you are preparing for an assault, an unwarranted or an anticipated assault on your person. So it seems like the Chinese are anticipating an assault and they're getting ready for that assault, or they are being aggressive and preparing to assault. Either way you put it, it ends up, it spells war. Right? So I'm going to go ahead. So is there any logic to why this area is called the East China Sea and the South China Sea? I guess probably not. Based on the current dispute and military invasions, if they did not learn from the Vietnam War, the U.S. and China are headed for another bloodbath. Russia will back China as the U.S. backs the Ukraine. Or maybe not, since Russia and China have been conducting military drills simulating an attack on the U.S. This could be shades of World War III. The only difference is Russia and China will be the enemy of the U.S. and Japan and Germany allies of the U.S. That's weird. These geniuses are showing signs they did not learn from World War I or World War II, Vietnam, and war in general. Or did they learn something we aren't looking at? It seems more like infighting between the oligarchs and political puppets of these sovereign nations. I say it's time these warmongers, masters of exploitation and deception, were relieved of their positions and be replaced with more reasonable, equitable, accountable, humane, fair, intelligent, concerned, and real people. Do you think they would go to war if they had to fight in the war they started? I don't think so. Even Putin looked like he might go to war. If the movie Troy, in the movie Troy, Brad Pitt's character plays Achilles, and he says war is old men talking and young men dying. I think those who perpetuate and benefit greatly or disproportionately from war should fight the wars they perpetuate. I don't think China is circling and invading U.S. waters over the U.S. debt. Because once you go to war, I don't think you're going to get your debt back. So, from world, Russian and Chinese Navy ships spotted less than 100 miles off the coast. So a group of Chinese Russian and Chinese warships were spotted in the Barents Sea, 7 dozen miles off Alaska. At least 7 ships, it said, it's a crew of a legend-class cutter, USCGC Kimball, monitored a surface action group comprising of at least 7 ships. That's a lot of ships off the coast. You know what I'm saying? Like, 4 of the Russian Navy and 3 of the Chinese People's Liberation Army, PLA, right? Come on. A crew of the legend-class cutter USCGC Kimball monitored a surface action group comprising of 7 ships. What's going on here? A statement said the Chinese Navy Type 055 destroyer, the Nanchang, which the U.S. classifies as a guided missile cruiser, sailed approximately 75 nautical miles north of Kiski Island. The Nanchang was joined by two other Chinese vessels and four Russian naval vessels, all in a single formation as they operated in the U.S. exclusive economic zone. See? And here is this juggling for power. Economics is power. Right? So who controls economics controls the world, right? You control the natural resources. You control economics because economics is generated from the natural resources, right? Even people as a resource need resources to, you know, you got to feed them. You got a slave. You got to feed your slave. You got to clothe them. So you need resources. So when you and you need to control the distribution, I don't know if you know, if you can make grow whatever you want, if you can't distribute it, it's gonna just go bad if it's that kind of product, or it's just gonna sit there, right? So you have to be able to extract, control the resource, extract the resource, distribute or produce the resource. And distribute the resource, and you have to have a demand for that resource in order for that all of that to work, right? Fortunately, America just is a sucker born every day. Put something on the shelf, somebody's going to buy it. Put it on a star, and a whole lot of somebody's going to buy it. So, you know, and I'm not saying the U.S. is the only place where it's a sucker born every day, but it's a lot of suckers here in the United States. So you just keep buying stuff. You know, money can't stay in our pocket long enough to do anything with it to do us any good. Some of us, y'all know who I'm talking about in particular, but I'm not going to go there because this show is not about that. Anyway, the Coast Guard, 17th District, covers more than 3.8 million square miles of ocean throughout Alaska and the Arctic. U.S. Coast Guard, right? The UN Convention on the Law of the Sea grants each coastal state and EEZ, a sovereign right to the area's maritime resources, right? That's everything in the water around there, right? Of no more than 200 nautical miles beyond its 12 nautical mile territorial sea. So you got 12 miles, that's your territory, and you have a right to the maritime resources of no more than 200 nautical miles beyond its 12-mile territorial sea. So that's 212 miles, right? All right. So they're not talking about resources for nothing here, right? That's a word that keeps coming up. This is why I started off talking about economics, because these guys keep talking about resources. And in defense of resources, which is the natural resources that come from the earth is made of dirt, water, and air, right? You already see that they're just talking about Chinese controlling the air, the land, and the water in the South China Sea and probably the East China Sea, right? All right, so that's that means you control anything coming through. That's like building a wall, right? Because apparently they don't have that yet. They may be close to it. I don't know. I don't have boots on the ground. They say the joint patrol was temporary in nature. So were the balloons. They got shot down. And I'm not saying they should have shot those ships down, but hey, look, what is going on that these guys, even when they get that close, are allowed to get that close to U.S. Territory? The U.S. Coast Guard's legend cutter, U.S. CGC, encountered a foreign naval vessel resembling the Russian Navy's Udali-class destroyer, RSS Marshal Shevchenkov, on September 19, 2020, in the Bering Sea. All right, see, this is not good news. This is some serious stuff, y'all. Well, what's taking part of a joint naval exercise in the Pacific with the Chinese Navy. In the Pacific, I didn't say the South China Sea or the East China Sea. They're taking on naval exercises in the Pacific. All right? That's close. Right? They said on Friday, the Russian Defense Ministry said the Marshal Saposhnikov was joined by the Sturridgushchi. I'm butchering this here. I don't speak Russian. Anyway, class covert RFS, Alder, another ship, right? And another ship, and the sea tanker Pechinka, all part of the Russian Navy's Pacific Fleet. Then the Chinese had a couple of ships out there, right? The joint naval exercise was another sign of warming military ties between Beijing and Moscow, right? They're getting together. They're getting comfortable, right? And was a rare instance of China exercising the right to freedom of navigation. Chinese Navy does not perform far seas patrols off U.S. territory nearly as often as American warships navigate the waters around China, they said, including in the Taiwan Strait. Oh, Taiwan. Okay. And the East and South China Sea. There you go. So there's something going on with the Taiwan Strait, right? And the South and East China Sea, because we know Japan, right? And Taiwan, is, I think, is in the South. Not sure, but I'm assuming. So U.S. warships have been navigating the waters around China frequently, according to this article, right? And this article is in World. It said, I'm trying to see, was this Newsweek? Or John Fink. I said, but the U.S. has been doing this for some time, right? U.S. warships sail Taiwan Strait, defying Chinese pressure. Two guided missile cruisers were the first to visit since China began extensive military drills after Speaker Nancy Pelosi visit to Taiwan. The guided missile cruiser Antian in the Taiwan Strait on Sunday, in a photo released by the U.S. Navy, China said that its own forces remain on high alert. Credit U.S., right, via Rutgers. So were our forces on high alert? Or is that like, you know, confidential, you know, from Hong Kong, right? Can't understand it because it's written in Chinese. Austin Ramsey, right? U.S. Navy said that two of its warships sailed through the Taiwan Strait on Sunday, the first such passage by American ships as China began large-scale military exercise in response to a visit to Taiwan by Speaker Nancy Pelosi early this month. This is written August 28, 2022. So Nancy Pelosi went down there earlier. China has warned the United States against sailing warships in the Taiwan Strait and said that it would respond to what it considers threats to its sovereignty. Right? That's our turf. That's a threat. You come on our turf waters with a battleship. Right? The Chinese military said on Sunday in a statement that it had monitored the ship's passes but did not indicate any additional response. So they did nothing. They watched. U.S. watched. Chinese watched. But everybody is being intimidating. So right now, it seems like wolf tickets are being sold. At the expense of who? What's the purpose of all this? After Pelosi visited Taiwan on August the 2nd and the 3rd, China launched missiles into waters that are part of Japan's exclusive economic zone and carry out 72 hours of live fire exercises toward exercises around Taiwan that simulated a potential blockade of the island. China considers self-governed Taiwan to be part of its territory, although the Communist Party has never controlled the island. See, this is, you know, see, we have economics, expansion, economics, expansion for the benefit of economics, for the benefit of who, all right? Now, I have a friend who would say, hey, we are all American people are benefiting from what these oligarchs are doing, because that's the way we afforded the lifestyle that we have here in America. So we are benefiting from it, same as or white folks benefited from slavery. Whether you had a slave or not, you benefit from the work that they got for free out of the slave, right? So I get that. But that don't mean we have to like this, and that don't mean this has to go on. Because we're benefiting because we don't have any power to change the way things are done. The Chinese people don't, and neither do the American people. When the last time you took a warship somewhere to talk to somebody somewhere? When the last time a battleship showed up for you? We have enough problem trying to get the police to come out, right? So two U.S. warships sailed in or near China's territory waters in late August 22. Did the other three groups come accompanied by the U.S. warships? The trip was followed by visits from three more groups of American officials and delegations of Japan lawmakers. So, is the Russian-China warship appearance in or near the U.S. territory waters a reaction to Pelosi's visit to Taiwan on a U.S. warship? There was already some of this going on, right? Is this over trade? Is this about controlling the trade routes, controlling our resources, gaining? I don't know. It just seems like economics and war are joint at the hip, right? Because many wars have probably been fought just to take over the resources in the countries. If you don't have to actually fight the war, you can support the war effort because you want the rubber in the country, and one president is or leader is not going to give you what you want, so you go to the opposition and you fund them. You back them with money, guns, and whatever military aid, and they overthrow. You could do it like that. You know what I'm saying? You could throw, you know. Just saying. Here we are in a situation here in December. It seems like probably before that, we just thinking about, you know, what we gonna do, what toys you gotta buy for the kid, what you gonna get the wife, the girlfriend, the mistress, you know what I'm saying, the boyfriend, the husband, you know, you gotta get all these people gifts and you work. And here we got battleships. They talking about balloons and we got battleships up in the Pacific. Specifically in the Pacific. So what's going on? Not over trade made in China things. It's not. Or is it? Is 32 million trillion not enough to go to war over? And I don't think so. I think China is looking at this thing like, it's the China Sea. What are you doing down here? And so they come up to the Pacific. See how you feel about that. See how you feel about Taiwan. Is, you know, the relationship between us and Taiwan. And they're saying, hey, this combination do what they want to do. Right? And, you know, Only thing I didn't do, I didn't check out the money trail here. So the money trail will give you the answer to why all this is happening. Because it's economics. If you think it's not, think again. Because they can go to war without all of this stuff. And they're talking about trade routes on the seas and things like that, right? From rapproduction.com, Rob Productions part-time. More U.S. companies send their manufacturing production overseas, primarily to China. Doing so provides several significant advantages, including lower costs, cheaper labor. So I'm not making this up. MGTrading.com says U.S. goods imported from China total of $539.5 billion in 2018 with 6.7% increase, right? 34.0 billion from 2017 up to 59.7% from 2008. U.S. imports are up 427% from 2001. So it's a lot of money to be made, and somebody's pushing somebody out of the somebody's not getting somebody a cut. But these guys are in bed with each other, and it seems like they're playing war games with our lives. U.S. imports from China account for 21.2% of overall U.S. imports in 2018. The largest carriers of those imports for 2018 include electrical machinery, furniture, toys, outdoor equipment, plastics, and plastic parts. Interestingly, about 56% of the money or what you pay for a product that is made in China stays with the U.S. This is due to the marketing, distribution, parts, and design raising the price of the product, much of which doesn't come from China. So if it doesn't come from China, where does that come from, right? Do U.S. corporations want to turn Taiwan into their lucrative sweatshop? Is that what's happening? Our Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan. So that could be a resource. Both an economic resource and a military of strategic resource for the United States, right? Because it's, you know, in the East. Just like the Chinese are setting up in their sovereign land masses. They're setting up military, stacking up military equipment and things like that in preparation for war. So, is Taiwan afraid they're going to be invaded? An overview of Taiwan economy, right? Because so I thought Taiwan, they must be pretty broke. U.S. would have gone in, just rob them, enslave them. Taiwan is a high income. This is from NASDAQ, right? NASDAQ, right? They said Taiwan is a high income economy. As classified by the World Bank. All right, so it's a high income economy. Taiwan's 2022 GDP is estimated at $828.66 billion, ranking 21st amongst all the 192 nations covered. Back in the 1980s, Taiwan was a $42.28 billion economy. The island is expected to cross the $1 trillion mark by 2027. A lot of money to be made. Is it the money or democracy or both? What is it? What is going on here? Right? From news.usni.org. Russian Chinese warships hold drill in East China Sea. Chinese carrier strike group strings in Philippine Sea. All right. So four Russian warships operating near Japan. They talked about the warships. Cruiser. I'm not even going to try to say the name of these things. I can't say it. My Russian and my Chinese not that good. They had in the period in a day, had a total of 60 fighter aircraft launches, flights, and recoveries were conducted, along with 70 takeoffs, flights, and landings by helicopters. Right on one vessel, Japan's Air Self Defense Force. Whew, this is a lot. Scramble in response to the carrier's fighter activity. Right? Let me see. Who was this going on? I don't know. These guys, it seems to me today, they just, everybody just doing something to show that, hey, we got this. Just like everybody pulling out their gun to me. I got a 44, I got a 45, I got a 50, I got a 60, you know, it seems like they just pump everybody just showing their muscles and stuff, showing how strong they are. And all they were doing is having these, basically, these activities, these warlike activities, you know, aircraft landings, takeoffs, and all this shit, kind of not nonsense. But as I said in the beginning, how come mainstream news is not, why isn't this flashing up on mainstream news all the time? You know, it's in the news. People covered it, right? But we got a lot of, what I'm saying is we have a lot of military, warlike, preparatory behavior going on, particularly in the water. This game of battleships has been going on at least since September 22nd, maybe before that. Then they say that U.S. from PBS, the U.S. military accelerates in Pacific in attempt to prevent a Chinese invasion of Taiwan, right? So we got this military buildup in the East China Sea, in the South China Sea, and now the U.S. is going to protect the U.S. interests, which always confuses me. How is it U.S. interests? Is it U.S. corporate interest or U.S. government interest? Is U.S. corporate the same as U.S. government? What's going on? These are the questions we all should be asking our politicians, because something is wrong with this picture, right? You see people talking about interests, competing, they jockeying for what? Nobody invaded anybody. Somebody's going to invade Taiwan. U.S. is going to, what, fight China? If they invade Taiwan because they have a treaty with Taiwan to provide protection, is that what's happening? Well, we need protection right here in the States. Where's our treaty? Anyway, from PBS, this is some things that was saying our president. They say, Biden calls China the most consequential strategic competitor for the United States. You owe them $32 trillion. You in bed with them. It's the most consequential strategic competitor. You're in bed. He makes it sound like they're not doing business with these guys. Lots of business. That's not like, you know, it ain't a sidebar thing. They doing a ton of business with China. One major source of tension is Taiwan, the island. Democracy is supported by the U.S., but China considers it a breakaway province and vowed to use force if necessary to unify. Remember, I told you this story in the beginning about how Chinese used to be a group of city-states. I forget how many they are. And they've had wars to unite everyone into what you got China now. So people have that same attitude of being reflected on Taiwan, right? So I don't know what the history of Taiwan is. I don't know if people from China left and went to Taiwan and developed their own culture or what. I don't know how that happened. I know in the Kung Fu movies, a lot of those, some of those, the five deadly venom guys, three of them are from Taiwan. Just saying that because that's they play in a lot of Chinese movies. That they have a relationship, very close relationship. Just looking at that in the theater situation. American military command in the Pacific task with preparing for any future conflict with China. So this is somebody, they say Nick Sherfrin recently traveled to the American military command in the Pacific, right? And who are tasked with any future conflict. So China's going to invade Taiwan. U.S. is going to rumble. That's what they're saying. Any, it says any. I don't know if that's how true that is. So you can just take all this as hearsay because I don't have boots on the ground. This man is saying who reported for PBS, right? Us lady, Jody Woodruff. They said the most visible projections of power that could one day help deter China from attacking on Taiwan, right? So near rear Admiral Christopher Sweeney commands the USS something strike group that typically deploys with a half dozen ships. It's one of the U.S. most visible projections. So they got seven ships to deter China from attacking Taiwan. So China setting up, right, for war, right? Right? So U.S. is in bed with China economically. $32 trillion in debt. I guess that's like, man, we ain't paying them. They must be thinking that. Anyway, conflict in China. It sounds like someone's trying to control the eastern trade routes of the seas. This is reminiscent of Vietnam. These fools haven't learned how to play in the same sandbox and apparently want to or threaten to spill the blood of their countrymen to show one another just who's the boss. Imagine a world where the oligarchs fought their own wars. Why is China saying a sovereign nation belongs to them? Why is anybody saying that? When people have, they are a sovereign nation. You admit that they're sovereign, yet you're saying they belong to you. What kind of attitude is that? It sounds like these men have not grown from the historic wars, the whole and there's a list of them. There's many of them that they've been through. All the lives, all the bloodshed means nothing to these people because it's not them dying. That's what I'm getting out of this. Did you declare war to send other people to die? How come the president is not down there? Or everybody that's in support of that, the people who causing this war, why aren't they down there fighting this war? And this is what the American people should be asking. Why are we going to war about Taiwan? And are we the guardians of the part of the planet, and is that not is any different than what Putin is trying to do in terms of expansion? Because it seems like the argument here is that people, nations are expanding, and when you expand, you threaten the position of another powerful country, particularly when you're expanding in the South or East China see the problem. Same thing in Europe, particularly if you're expanding in what used to be Soviet Union countries, or if you're expanding in sovereign countries that are now a part of NATO. These guys are at war with each other without being in outright war with each other. And it seems they were never friends. They just had an enemy that was greater than the both of them. And it was better if they all fought that war together. And that way, deal with that enemy. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So maybe U.S. was able to make the enemy of the Germans, Russia, their friend. Russia was able to make the enemy of Germany, which became the United States, their friend, and they fought against Germany. But maybe we misinterpreted the word ally, and maybe ally means just that. You are working with me in this endeavor. It doesn't mean that we're blood brothers. It just means that we're not at war with each other. I don't particularly like you, care for how you do what you do, but we got a common enemy. Let's deal with him because he's a lot worse than you. So they haven't learned from how to, it doesn't seem like they learned how to play in the sand together. And we're no farther in terms of these situations than we were in any point in history. Because now these guys are playing with war machines that can basically destroy most of your country. You know, most of the warring world will be destroyed. These guys decide to go to war. And I'm not trying to tell anybody to, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but this can't be, this is unacceptable. So I started thinking, what is it about us that we are so, some of us, what is it that makes us so warlike? The learning mind. We have often discussed that mankind is an ugly, violent, and horrendously criminal race. We have often discussed how we kill each other for pleasure or vengeance, and actually without a real reason. And we have often discussed that when murders occur in small numbers, it is called a crime and is punishable by justice. But when murder occurs on a larger scale, they are not punished unless you are on the losing side. They're talking about war, right? Heinous massacres have gone down in history like this or that, but the person that ordered the massacre has been deemed a hero on many occasions and has received recognition and awards for his deeds. And they go to bed at night satisfied that they today they perform God's work. But is the following list really God's work? They got the Mongol conquest, 5 million dead. Neapolitan wars, right? Woo! 6,500,000 dead. American Civil War, 600,025. Spanish Civil War, 500,000. World War One, 9,911,000. World War Two, 61 million dead. Korean War, 3,500,000 dead. Vietnam War, 3,900,000 dead. Did we not learn from this? Or, you know, we can document the deaths of over 2 trillion people in various war efforts. Let's put aside all the reasoning behind these efforts and take a look at the results. 75% of these casualties are men. This means a lack of reproduction until these men are replaced. No men around, right? You don't have no men around. You got less men around. You got less reproduction going. The number of men who survived these wars could not bear children due to their injuries, right? Reproductive capacity is reduced, right? 25% of these casualties are children. The delay in replenishment of the dead people, right? So resources needed to support the population are almost depleted, right? Today and after these deaths, population of Earth is rapidly reaching 8 trillion souls to all concerned. This is clearly a number that is unsustainable by the natural resources offered. If these people hadn't died, it is estimated there would now be over 14 trillion people. So it is well known to Sun Tzu doctrine that if you want to avoid having to face the next generation of your enemies, warriors, the most effective way is to destroy his offspring. Many campaigns like the infamous Biafra campaign of the Nigerian Civil War resulted in the complete utter extinction of the opponent, including women and children. Are we as a species that violent and that rotten inside that we need to destroy children for whatever purpose? Could it be that we have been programmed to slaughter each other as a method of controlling population growth? This author implies. Is this the reality? If this is the case, then the current booming of the population should come to an end. And pretty soon, he said, it might not be long before we experience the third world war. So this person is feeling that this world, that when a war, population control, that's a different angle. And it's not, not that people have never used massacring people as, you know, a way of controlling population. As you know, they massacred the indigenous people here in North America. Christopher Columbus is massacring people. Puerto Rico, where he landed at. And I don't know. I don't know if they're using it in war as a means of population control, because that would mean world wars. How many people died in those wars? And that's still not enough to put a dent in the population growth, because we didn't have all those wars, and we still on route to being overpopulated. So these guys are juggling for positions to take control from the east in the South China Sea and the East China Sea, assuming that China and the U.S. interests are truly the interest of the survival of the nations. Anything that would prevent them from providing the needs, resources, and economics of their population is a potential threat to the survival of their people and thus a catalyst for conflict or war. Increased competitiveness. Is that another way of saying someone has gotten a little too big for their shoes, or there is not enough room on the planet for both of us, or there's a new sheriff in town? A major war can slow the rate of population growth, just as disease, environmental toxins, drugs, poor diet, birth control, abortion, poverty, homicide, mass incarceration contribute to slowing down the rate of reproduction. After all, population control, it is not simply about how many you kill, but also how many you prevent from being born. Evil genius at work, or just evil? Why have these allies become enemies? Well, from history.com, why did the U.S. and the Soviet Union become enemies? after World War II. They say post-war Soviet expansion in Eastern Europe fueled many Americans' fears of a Russian plan to control the world. Meanwhile, the USSR came to resent what they perceived as American officials' rhetoric, arms buildup, and interventionist approach to international relations. Taiwan is a perfect example of that, right? So it seems both all are worried about the other controlling the world. Not quite an act of God, but a fearful act of men, an act of greedy men, selfish men who are willing to sacrifice the lives of others for their gain, desires, or conquest. This has nothing to do with the people of the Soviet Union, China, and America. It has everything to do with the oligarchs of these countries who are selfish people. And I'm running out of time now. I just want to thank anybody for tuning in. And when it comes to war, I think we need to, the people, we need to start asking more questions, because we cannot let this thing go down. It's up to us as people, Chinese, Russian, American, Taiwan needs it. We have to come together. There's power in numbers. Stop selling out. And do something about these warmongers and exploitators, selfish, greedy men who send you and your loved ones to war for their gain, for their disproportionate gain. I want to thank everybody for listening, calling in, downloading. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, and all my callers and listeners. Good night. Each one reach one. Each one teach one.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat.
The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.